This is a replay of the Wednesday night, September 28th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and as usual, I'm looking for interesting stories to share with you, and I do have slime from the checkout line, the tabloids, but there was an unusual number of just awful stories this week. Kids killing kids, parents killing each other, and on it goes. And then of course, the government through civil forfeiture taking all your money for no reason whatsoever. And on, the list is something. I'm not talking about any of this stuff. That's right. It's too depressing even to read the headlines. And then I come across what apparently has become a heated argument online. And this will be exemplar number one of the futility of spending any time online. Yes, here we have an argument that apparently is involving thousands of social media responses on whether or not, here's the question, 'tis nobler to suffer through hunger cravings or take into your arms precious sustenance that fuels you through your shopping trip as long as you pay for it later. Oh, yeah, there's an awful lot of shoplifting stories, and we're not getting into any of those. In this case, we're talking about you're going to pay for it as you go through the checkout aisle anyway, but if you're planning on an extensive shopping trip, is it okay to open and eat while you're shopping? I must admit, this was nothing that kept me awake at night ever, but the idea of shopping ethics being enough to have thousands of responses, I had to throw it out. By the way, some of the responses came from the cashiers themselves, and they were split. Some said it was fine, others said it was disgusting, but no one said it was theft, because in all cases here, we're not talking about consuming the food and then not paying for it. Yeah, like many people do in a variety of things, particularly those serve yourself bulk portions. Yeah, oh, I'll just try a few of these first. Yeah, no, you won't. But in this case, I guess this touched a nerve. So if this is something you've encountered in the grocery store, do you care? Yeah, that would be the part that surprised me the most. All right, so I'll throw that out in under absolutely useless discussion, which we specialize in at night from 10 to 1, fiddling while the rest of the world burns, since it's all too horrible to contemplate. So we'll just have fun and play your requests, if I like them. Bruce and Elwood, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How you doing?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm in the hospital right now.
What's going on?
And I just wanted to, I got some kind of an intestinal blockage.
Oh, no. Are they going to do surgery?
They're not sure. They may in the morning.
God.
I can't even get chips of ice right now. It's driving me
no.
crazy.
Oh man. That's painful.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry you're going through this. And I hope that if they have to go in there, that it's just something they can easily resection.
Well, see, I've already had a resectioning of my that and a hernia from 15 years ago, too. It's going to be a mess.
Well, with that,
that mesh in there, broken mesh.
Those meshes are lethal. But with that history, as you well know, a buildup of scar tissue will lead to blockages fairly easily. I remember many years ago, Bruce Williams, the talk show host, he cracked his plane up on landing in New Jersey and required some surgeries. And that wasn't bad. But what happened after that was literally for years, every 4 to 6 months, he'd have a blockage and they'd have to go in. And finally, a doctor said to him, Bruce, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to completely run out of intestines on us, you know, or you're going to die, or it'll be spontaneous remission. Well, believe it or not, that was the last surgery he ever had. It was spontaneous remission, but he had at least a dozen of those surgeries.
Oh.
So.
Yeah, this is the first one I've had to have, but last night I came in and I had to wait 11 hours in the emergency room to get to a room.
I hate that. Yeah, it's why it's better if you're really in trouble, have an ambulance bring you in, you get quicker service.
I did have an ambulance bring me in.
You're kidding, and it still was 11 hours?
Yep.
Oh, my God. Well, that's horrifying.
And I think I only got in because after the 11 hours, I went up to the nurse. I asked for a second shot for nausea, and she said, oh, my, look at this. We missed this. And we better get you in.
What do you mean we missed this?
Well, the you know, I've been not eating and throwing up blood for so long.
Right. They missed the degree to which you were sick after being brought in an ambulance?
It was put down. There's all kinds of people. When we pulled in there, there was probably 15 ambulances there.
Oh, my God.
It's not the hospital. They're very, very good hospital. But the system is just overwhelmed.
Everywhere. Oh, man. Well, hopefully a miracle will occur and you won't need any surgery and tomorrow will be a brighter day.
Yeah, that's right. They tried to put a nose tube in today 7 times. That's why my voice is so shot.
Mm. Oh.
Tried to get one into my stomach to try and suck out some of the poison that's in there.
Oh, God. That's no fun journey either.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry you're having to deal with this.
Well. But I just want to let you know the hospital system's still here, but boy, it's
The patients are dead. All right, that's not good. All right, Bruce, we're definitely going to put you high on the prayer list, and if you can, I want you to call me tomorrow night, and hopefully you'll have some good news, but whatever news you have, I want to hear it.
Okay, I appreciate that, and thank you guys.
Good luck, Bruce.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, yes, that will not be the final goodbye. We will hear from Bruce tomorrow night. But not pleasant. And, boy, I'll tell you what, the night before surgery, is there any night worse in the world? And so hopefully this will be, at the last minute, completely averted and cleared up. I sure hope so. So, 888-876-5593. Marianne is in Chicago. What's happening, Marianne?
Hey, Riley, how are you?
Well, I'm doing better than Bruce.
Oh, God. That made me quiver because I watched his veterinarian show, and he's a large animal vet, and when a horse has choking, they have to put that tube down their throat to get into their esophagus to push whatever's clogged into their stomach.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my gosh, I can only... Maybe you should see a veterinarian.
I'm actually a big believer in that. Years ago when HMOs started to flourish, I always said, forget it, I'm doing veterinary medicine, I'll stand in line behind the cow. But the reality is the few times I've had to have my blood drawn by a vet, don't even ask why, I will tell you that it was the best blood draws ever because those guys who were working on animals, man, they're just flawless. I'd take them any day of the week.
You're right. Back in the day, I had a really good plan, a PPO plan, but every time I had to take a pet to the vet, I tell my mother, you know, we should go see a veterinarian. They stay in the room with you for a long time. They answer every question. They make sure you understand. Where our doctors are like, okay, take your temperature, blood pressure, bite. Okay, you're good.
Right. And they know how to find veins. So, yeah, it's all good.
And they have smaller needles if you need it.
Right. Of course, in most states, it's absolutely illegal for them to treat you. But occasionally, you will find a vet who also is an MD, and they're just priceless.
Yeah, you're right. But, you know, that first topic you were talking about hit a nerve with me, too, in the grocery store.
Really? Okay. So you have an opinion.
The thing that hits a nerve with me is, okay, from the time my son was old enough to go in a grocery store with me and ride in the cart, He never asked for anything to eat in the store because I did not allow it.
Uh-huh.
And I see these moms with their kids throwing a fit. They're opening a carton of milk, dumping it somewhere. Here, let's get a bag of grapes and pick a bunch of these out on the way. So when they weigh it, it's not a pound anymore. I've seen, like at the self-serve places, this woman was taking a cup and putting it in a bowl and letting her kid eat it and then trying another bowl and letting the kid eat it. And after five bowls, I went and got a manager. I go, these aren't samples.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well, you know, again, if you're eating the contents of something that's sold by the pound, that absolutely is theft. But, you know, in the question of, let's say you open up a small package of, I don't know, sushi, and you consume the sushi, and then you go through the checkout line and you pay for it. It's amazing the amount of people who are saying that's perfectly fine and the amount of people who are saying that's the worst thing ever. So,
no, I agree. If you open a candy bar for your kid and you take the wrapper up there and say, here, scan it, I have no problem with that.
Well, you'd be surprised at the amount of Americans who apparently do and feel strongly enough to comment about it online.
And if they're going to pay for it and it shuts their kid up, I'm all for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, shove it down that kid's mouth. I'm with you there.
I have that problem in my brain with unnecessary noises and...
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference between a child that's a little cranky and somebody who wants something and isn't getting it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
But the reason I called back tonight, I called back yesterday, and I didn't think it was fair to take up a line when somebody else hadn't gotten through. But I took your advice. I went online and looked at your page, and I clicked onto the thing for Caesar.
Yes.
When it came up, I was sitting outside in the dark. I went out loud. Oh, my God, he's so cute and he's so little.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it broke my heart. And then I saw Brenda. Is that her name?
No, the lovely and talented, Becky. The lovely
Becky,
and talented
okay,
Becky.
Yeah. I saw her. She's a very nice-looking woman.
Yes.
And I saw Johnny B., and I'm like, it wasn't what I expected from his voice, but he's a nice-looking man.
Yeah.
And I was telling John, because John asked, he goes, what did you expect? I go, I didn't know. The only people I know from Ohio is the Simpsons.
Oh, gee. Oh, God.
I didn't have nothing to go against, okay?
Oh,
but then I caught his remark the other night about, he says, Marianne can't stay awake. She should take Adderall or no dose.
Oh, jeez.
And I'm like, they still make no dose?
Oh, absolutely. Of course.
I never look for that because I don't have a hard time staying awake usually. But that was a really nice page for that puppy.
Yeah, and I'll have the, they're going to do a little memorial, and I'll have that online when they're ready.
Oh, okay, well, let everybody know.
Okay.
Oh, wait, did you know that the Invisible Man and the Invisible Woman got married?
Who would know?
Well, nobody can understand what they see in each other, and their kids are nothing to look at.
Yes, all right. Talk to you later.
Ta-da, bye.
All right, yes. She'll be here all week, Troy LaVille. We'll get to Kathy and McHenry and James on the South Side, and you two coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that is the Penguins. The original A side, actually, the flip side, nobody cared about until Huggy Boy flipped it and played it incessantly. Earth Angel, biggest hit ever for the Penguins, but the A side was Hey Senorita, which they used to sing in high school, actually, in South Central LA, and only they did it under the name of S.A. Chiquita. And when Dootsie Williams heard it, he said, let's go with Hey Senorita. And they put it out, and that was Jimmy P's request. So there you have it. 888-876-5593. And of course, 1955 on Dootone. Kathy in McHenry, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi. I was going back to the poor man who has the intestinal blockage and the trouble he had with the tube going down.
Yeah.
When I was teaching in California, a physician, another nurse, and I had a course for medical students where they took skills.
Right.
And they learned different skills. And then they would also have to put in 9 hours of time in the hospital. So one of the skills was inserting the nasal gastric tube.
Whoa.
So I would do the demonstration. I had a model. And they said, a couple of them, every single class would say, can we do it on each other? And I'm like, seriously? They're like, yes. I said, fine. I said, nobody eats before they have a tube put in.
Yes.
That's the rule.
Yes.
And they all looked at me. I'm like, okay. So it was a fantastic learning exercise for everyone because they all watched with, like they were mesmerized. And, you know, just like a patient, the eyes would water, the nose would drip, and they would kind of gag and stuff. And so it was a good experience for the students.
Actually, it's a great experience because if they're going to do that procedure, they know firsthand exactly what the patient is feeling. So it's a great experience.
Right.
But I guess I'm not made for medical school because I never would have said, hey, I'll volunteer for that.
No, I know. I've been a nurse for a very long time. I've never volunteered.
That's right. Yeah, I'll watch the video. Thank you very much. Yeah, oh, that's a great story. And I bet you every one of those kids went on to a good profession.
Well, they were all in medical school.
Yeah, well, but hopefully they graduated and decided to practice.
Yeah, one of the funny things was one of the male students was in the elevator in the hospital, and this was back in the late 70s, and a physician said to him, because he saw a medical student, and what service are you with this month? Because they all rotated.
Right.
And he looked at him and he said, nursing. And the doctor looked at him and said, nursing? He goes, yes, I'm following the nurses. And he's like, okay. And it was just so funny because they had not been in the hospital yet. This was their very first experience. So it was great.
I can just imagine. That's a wonderful story. Well, thank you for doing that. I'm sure you made a lot of lives happier.
Yeah, I think I might have.
All right, Kathy, call me again.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. So, no, I would absolutely not volunteer. Let's go back to that model. All right. So, 888-876-5593. We're going to get to Jimmy Forrest. I promised Don in Beloit we would do the night train deal, and we'll be telling you all about the history of that. Duke Ellington, Johnny Hodges, all that. Absolutely. We got James on the South Side who gives us all these wonderful stories. Oh, Johnny D is calling, which is terrific because I thought about him. You know, he is the hominid expert, but it turns out they're a little younger than hominids, but apparently in that area of the Fertile Valley of the world now, over 50 players in the Bible, the King James Version, have been discovered. Yeah, exactly how preserved, I don't know, but we'll tell you about that too, coming up on WGN Radio. We'll be right back. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, that's the original Night Train, or is it? 1952 on United, and in fact, also at United in 52, they gave it some lyrics. In fact, the co-owner, Louis Simpkins, and Oscar Washington got together, and it was the typical blues lament, a man who regrets treating his woman badly now that she's left him, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's interesting that critics at the time described the original lyrics as fairly awful. So, needless to say, it was the instrumentals that did something. I mention that because when we get to James Brown, of course, he changed them in a very interesting way. But nonetheless, Jimmy Forrest, while, yes, that was absolutely true as far as Night Train itself, the first time you heard that in 1952, it's not the first time you heard the melody, to say the least. And in fact, the first guy was 1941, Johnny Hodges' That's the Blues, Old Man. Undeniable. The rhythm's a little off, but definitely that would have been That's the Blues, Old Man, the first Night Train, except, and so that was 1941. 6 years later on Musicraft, Duke Ellington did Happy-Go-Lucky Local. And man, the ending of that, you can't tell me that's not Night Train. Like that, but it obviously Jimmy Forrest brought it to life. But for most of us, the version we remember is James Brown. Now, he didn't use those totally awful lyrics that that the guys at United wrote in 1952. He took the opportunity to turn it into a payola record of sorts. He figured, well, let me just shout out the cities of all the stations where I want the jocks to play this record. I'll just shout it out over and over.
All aboard for Night Train. Atlanta, Georgia.
W-A-O-K.
Raleigh, North Carolina.
And on and on it goes. So there you have it. Night Train. All right. So it was Donna Beloit who made me walk down memory lane. So that was a nice suggestion. Happy to do it.
Gosh, Raleigh, thanks so much. And you know, listening to this history lesson through you and your knowledge is it's just fantastic. What a great evening to kick off Night Train.
Yeah.
You know, Duke Ellington just had so many, so many talent.
Of course.
Well, Benny Goodman, who used Johnny Hodges once or twice, too. Yeah. But Johnny Hodges, just an alto sax superstar, you know, just unbelievably the best of the best type of guy.
Absolutely. Well, you know, there were big bands for a reason. They were big bands, and there were a number of people who were part of them. And of course, Johnny did a lot of solo work for Duke Ellington, but like you say, not only. And sadly, he left us in 1970. But man, in the big band years, he was everywhere.
And it was a sudden. He was in the middle of composing, and he went to the dentist and had some kind of bad. Surgery and died or something.
Yeah, it wasn't wasn't a happy thing, to say the least. He had a heart attack while he was at the dentist's office. And, so that was the deal there. But, so many of the big bands. It's also interesting, really, that in some ways, Louis Jordan, who was my favorite in terms of that period of time, and his Timpani Five, he did with five players what big bands couldn't do with, you know, four times that amount. And I think more than any other guy, he put an end to big bands.
Okay.
So you'll have to check right. out his stuff.
Well, of course, you know, the technology changed and amplification and, you know, everything was changing like in the late 40s, early 50s.
Oh, of course.
Stuff like that. Yeah.
Of course.
Charlie Parker, you know, really, he preys on him too. You got guys like that saying great things about you. You must be doing something fantastic.
Well, absolutely.
Well, you know, they teach you like in science, you know, the Doppler effect and that wailing, like it just perfectly imitates the old steam engines and you know, like going on an old local on some night, cheap night train, you know, some station far away.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Well, I wanted to ask you and John, I was talking to John earlier, like what if, you know, talking on them, doing my own survey, Wisconsin Pipeful and my hockey buddies. What if you had a convention, Raleigh? Like, did you ever think about getting all of us listeners together?
I'm laughing. For two reasons. One is, of course, back when I was radio editor for Billboard, I had to do conventions. So, but those were conventions right. for radio people. Obviously, they were different. But the Nightcaps used to do that fairly regularly. Herb Jepko and the Nightcaps. And, in fact, the little locations would be known as nightstands and all that. And he actually had a number of them. So it could be done, but I won't be doing them.
What if somebody organized one and invited you and John? Yeah,
well, that's the problem. We probably wouldn't go at this stage in life. I wouldn't guarantee any personal appearances by me other than to the doctor, like today, actually. So, no, I wouldn't do that. If this were, you know, 25, 30 years ago, maybe so. But, yeah, remember those Nightcap conventions? Yeah, there's one in Louisville, Kentucky that stands out in 1975. But, yeah, Herb had a lot of them.
What if your listeners did it?
Well, I'd be happy to call in. No.
Hey, how's your Camaro doing these days?
Very well, thank you for asking. The only problem I have, and this is something that really bothers the hell out of me, is Arizona is like many states where you can't get real gasoline. Everything is going to be oxygenated. And at higher speeds, my car pulls with oxygenated gas. It's just not smooth enough. Man, you put the right octane in there, and I'm in hog heaven. But, you know, when you're settling for 91 octane, you are not operating at performance standards. So that's my only gripe, and there's nothing I can do about it.
Can you use 10% ethanol? Is that a
well,
no-no?
All that's all the crap that you don't want to use. That's what I'm saying. You don't want to use any of this stuff. You know, I actually looked. The one thing I thought about using was using aviation fuel, but that's a little too rich for the engine I've discovered. So no.
100 and 105.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what I was eyeing, and then I was talked out of that right quick. which I can understand. Yeah.
Probably would pre-detonate and have a lot of bad things coming out of your exhaust, like boom, boom.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a happy ride. But other than the horrible 91 octane, I'm a happy camper with it. You know, it was GM's payback for all those horrible, horrible Corvettes I had. It is. And they never ran. I got to see all of America. I remember being stuck 11 hours halfway between El Paso and Odessa. You know, closest city was like Monahans. You know, so, yeah, I know all about that. And but this one has been just a dream since day one.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for playing my request. That was really special. Thank you so much for introducing them like that.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thanks for suggesting it. Appreciate it.
You got it. Bye-bye.
All right. So 888-876-5593. Yeah, when I was looking, I had to buy another car in 95, and you know, I'm not one to buy them easily as far as that goes, and I'll only pay cash and all that. And so I thought, I'm not trying another Corvette. I don't have the stomach for this. And when I found out that they were putting the Corvette engine into Z28 Camaros, I said, and they were only charging like an extra, you know, $1,500, $2,000 more. What? Yeah, boy, I ordered one of those right quick. Yeah. And it arrived, and it's been heaven ever since, well over 200,000 miles, and we're still together. So 888-876-5593. John hates it. But, of course, he's a big boy. You know, he's 6'2". So, you know, they're not built for tall boys. And I understand that. But for me, it's just perfect. All right, speaking of just perfect, I want to talk about the Sea Crane Company, ccradio.com, ccradio.com. And I always use that as a website because it's the easiest thing to remember. You can also go to ccrane.com. You'll get to the exact same place. But you will see radios and radios and more radios. And the one thing they all have in common is they all have outstanding reception. And, you know, Bob Crane years ago was just as horrified as many of us were in terms of radio reception, especially on AM. But FM, too, that it was almost like some afterthought. Things were supposedly sounding good and all that, but they weren't picking up anything worth a darn. And he decided, you know, when I make radios, they are absolutely going to have great reception. And boy, did he come through on that. And not only that, but every one of them has a unique set of features you just don't find anywhere else. And the CC SkyWave is a wonderful pocket radio. It'll let you be prepared for the occasional extreme weather conditions because it's got, you know, the weather alert and a built-in weather band. But it also has some shortwave in the aviation band, so it makes a perfect travel radio because, you know, you'll hear air traffic control and everything else. And it's just neat. Like I say, it'll fit pretty much in the palm of your hands. And it's got digital readout and a lighted dial and AM, FM, weather, you know, and, again, the aviation bands and some shortwave. And you can punch it in directly, digitally. You can also do some fine tuning as well. And it runs on AA batteries, a couple of them, for 70 hours. So it's a perfect thing to have. And now is the time to order it, actually, because I believe that the CC SkyWave 2 is going to be released on November 17th. So you may want to take a look at that as well. And that's also a terrific, inexpensive radio. So whether it's a CC SkyWave or the upcoming CC SkyWave 2, you go to ccradio.com and you can read all about it and everything else. You can order, of course, with, you know, Amazon or REI or Bi-Mart for quick shipping. But before you do that, go to ccradio.com, ccradio.com, and read all about it. You'll read to your heart content, not only great products, but great information. If you are a radio lover, this is a must-have bookmark as far as websites go. Now, if you can't go online, well, you still want a radio, right? 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. They've got the greatest customer service. They'll tell you anything you want to know on the phone, and you can order it that way as well. So whether it's 800-522-8863 or ccradio.com, they'll have you covered. Look at that CC SkyWave. You tell them Raleigh sent you from WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Lloyd Price, just the best. And what a smart businessman, too. Owned all his masters. Smart guy. He and his manager wrote, "Where Were You on Our Wedding Day?" The only thing is, where were you when I said I do? Well, wait a minute. If she's the intended and she's not there, who are you saying I do to? Oh, there are so many mysteries in rock and roll, aren't there? 888-876-5593. That, of course, ABC Paramount, 1959. And we got Johnny D back on WGN Radio. How's it going, Johnny D?
Oh, it's going all right, Raleigh. How are you doing?
I can't complain.
That a girl. So John is 6'2", you say?
Yes.
Well, you like your men long, huh?
You know, I'm of course, visually challenged, so the only reason I know that is because, you know, I've filled out paperwork for him. I just, you know, I'm terrible at that. I can meet you and I'll see you again and walk right by you because I'll never know you're you. I'm just not visually meant to be. You know, I don't notice it. So
that's too bad. That's too bad.
Well, it's fine. I hear everything.
Well, that brings me to something that Marianne said. But first, I want to wish Bruce well.
Yes.
You know, I hope he figures out what's the matter now.
Yeah.
And another thing, I can't believe it, Raleigh. I have the psychological thing. Every time I talk to him, my throat, you know, gets raspy. I don't know.
Oh.
But let me say this. No, I want to take umbrage with Marianne.
Are we referring to Ohio here?
No, not Ohio. Okay. I mean, you know, people know Ohio's the heart of it all. I mean, but
yes,
if they don't know that yet, they should know it.
Yeah.
But let me say this. No. When she said she's seen a picture of me and I'm kind of good looking, what does she mean, kind of? No, I'm just kidding.
You know, that's an interesting question. I thought you looked just fine, but again, I'm the last person to comment on anyone's looks. But yeah, look good to me.
Hey, you look good looking in a dictionary, they got a picture of me.
All right.
When I was younger.
Well, it's settled. Glad to know.
Now I'm under elderly. You look up elderly.
right, aren't we all?
But anyhow, no. And then she said that Caesar was such a cute puppy. Well, he was a cute puppy, but he grew to be bad to the bone.
Oh, yeah.
If you look.
Yeah.
He grew to be bad to the bone. Caesar, I'm still thinking about him, Raleigh.
Of course.
You know?
Of course. And you always will. That's not going
to
go away.
I'm still talking to him.
And that's the way to go. Absolutely. You should. He's listening.
Becky, too. You know, she goes down. She goes down to Caesar's Palace in the morning when she's going to leave to go babysit, you know, and she talks to her down there talking to him like she used to, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, and every night, no matter what I say, because when I used to be down to Caesar's Palace watching, you know, TV or things on TV or something, and thank you for coming on tonight because I was watching the debates, that Republican debate. I was going crazy.
No. I'm not even aware there is a debate. I'm busy debating whether or not you should open food before you pay for it at the grocery store.
Well, that's another thing I was going to say. I don't know nothing about that because I very rarely, hardly ever went shopping for groceries. The lovely and talented Becky handles all of that.
Well, of course she does.
Knows what I like.
Of course she does. That's her wifely duties, yes.
Yeah, she knows what I like, and a couple times I had to go. She knows I can't stand being in stores, Raleigh. I can't stand it.
Well, that's fairly. John doesn't like it either. In fact, he does a lot of the grocery shopping because if I do the grocery shopping, I'm going to be gone for hours. I'm going to read every damn label of everything in there. I can spend hours on end at the grocery store, and he's like 4 minutes. He's got the week done, so he usually handles
it.
Yeah.
I have follow her around, you know. Sometimes I push the cart from with her, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh God, I'm leaning on the cart, you know.
Oh, hey, no, the cart will keep you upright. The cart has real saving value in it. Trust me. Yeah.
Yeah. But anyhow, and then what else did I want to say? Oh yeah. Are you talking about the Fertile Crescent? When you were...
Well, of the archaeology confirming 50 real people from the Bible, but I have a story that is even more up your alley than that, and it's in this week's National Enquirer. Alien mummies found in mine. That's right, the fossilized corpse with three fingers found in a Peru mine.
That ain't real.
Well, of course, in the National Enquirer, it's a bastion of journalism. How can you not believe every word? Yes.
They have something on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Recently about some alien mummies being found in Mexico.
Yeah, oh well, this is probably the same story, because actually they presented the findings to the Mexican government, and we have bombshell photos of the 1,000-year-old extraterrestrials in this issue of the National Enquirer. They made a stunning presentation to Mexico's Congress with petrified bodies unearthed in an algae mine 5 years ago. I didn't know you mined algae. By one expert as an alien, not part of our terrestrial evolution. So,
right. That's the story.
Yeah, absolutely. These aren't beings that were found after a UFO wreckage. No, they've been there for years. They possess humanoid bodies that are smaller than a typical human adult and have three fingers on each hand and elongated necks.
Right, I've seen that picture.
Yeah, right. There you are. And they're believed to be as much as 1,800 years old. They carbon dated them, according to the National Autonomous...
They said they're for real.
Yeah, the National Autonomous University of Mexico. I got to look that up. No university is called the National Autonomous University. Hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay right where you are.
Okay.
We'll pick it up. It can't be right. We'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
Look, look, look for baby. Look, look, look for baby.
Run, run, run.
Well, more Larry Chance. We were talking about him. Sadly, died earlier this month, lung cancer in Orlando, 82 years old. And it was Jimmy P. who said, "Well, play Looking for My Baby." Sure, 1961 on the Rome label. So we're gonna get to Johnny Jimmy P. in a while, but talking to Johnny D. about these aliens. And apparently, I am the idiot. University of Mexico, which of course you know I've heard about, and they've got like 12 campuses, and they're just huge. Their actual name is National Autonomous University of Mexico, and they call it UNAM. So I guess they just reversed that on the acronym. But yeah, had never heard it called that way. But so it is that University of Mexico, as I will continue to call it, has carbon dated these 1,800-year-old fossils. They're not mentioning anybody in particular from the University of Mexico, which is of course the biggest school in the country, and they got like five campuses in Mexico City. I know Ciudad Universitaria is the big one, and then there are others as well. But you know, it's big enough that you can claim anything came from there, and how would you prove it? All right, but so yeah, I'm the fool. All right, so back to Johnny D. I got to tell you, John came in during the news, and he said, you know, you're interesting. You say about these three fingers, because in all the old comic books from decades gone by, all the aliens had three fingers. So there you go. I don't know what that means, if anything, but they apparently are non-human.
Are you asking me?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, the picture I've seen of these things, they look like... the E.T. Remember the movie?
Yes. Well, that's what I mean. So, which comes first?
And by the way, Yeah. You know, the guy that played E.T., there was a person in an outfit and a costume. He was from Youngstown, a little midget guy.
Really?
Yeah. Look it up.
Okay.
But anyhow, yeah, he was an actor. He was in that E.T. suit.
Okay.
And, but, I want to say this. When you're talking about the Fertile Crescent, right?
Yes.
You know, that's what changed humanity from a healthy hunter-gatherer to a sickly, because that's where they developed agriculture.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And that's where they developed about 10,000 years ago. You know, Homo sapiens, they developed agriculture with, animal husbandry.
Yeah.
You know, they used to take little goats and stuff like that and pigs and stuff like that and breed them for to be more tame and
appetizing.
and more appetizing. And then they also, that's where they started planting, you know, crops.
Yes. Okay. Yes. The modern agricultural revolution in the Fertile Crescent. Yes.
Yeah. The Fertile Crescent.
But you're
and
saying,
that made
well, wait a minute.
Sicker.
That's what I was going to ask you about. You said they went from healthy to sick. What caused their medical decline?
Well, you see, they were eating foods. They were sedentary.
Okay, sedentary. All right. So they no longer were exercising.
They were no longer running around hunting animals.
I see.
And gathering, you know,
whatever they gathered. Yes.
Women.
Yes. Uh huh.
The women would do the gathering. The men would do the hunting.
All right.
Now, when they became sedentary because of agriculture, well, they worked their ass off. I mean, they worked hard doing the agriculture, but not like hunter-gathering, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, and then the foods they were eating, like the sugars, gave them tooth decay and stuff like that.
Huh.
You know. Huh. But anyhow, I wanted to mention this one thing, too, before I go, Raleigh.
We've been going downhill a long time now. I'm very concerned about this. I thought it was just the last...
Oh, we're sedentary. Yeah. We're sedentary.
Yeah, I thought it was the last 100
years. If we were to go back to a hunter-gatherer... kind of living, everybody would be in shape because they'd have to hunt and gather to survive, you know?
All right.
But anyhow, now we go to the grocery store and lag behind our wife saying, what the hell? Let me get out of here, you know?
Yeah.
But anyhow, now I want to say about the saxophone. I remember once heard you say you're playing Night Train and all these songs, the stripper song and everything. Now, you know who used to play the saxophone, and I heard some of them songs you played? The golfer, my older brother, Joe, used to play the saxophone. He used to play. And I'm thinking, what the heck are you talking about? The saxophone was banned or something
It was pure sex, they thought.
Pure sex.
Yeah, they thought that that the saxophone was synonymous with sex. It closely resembled the human voice and tone and range and on it went. Oh yeah, it was banned in some places. Too sexy an instrument.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it is a pretty intriguing instrument. And Marlo, you know Marlo from the
from Jackson.
He plays saxophone.
Yeah.
I've seen him on YouTube.
Yeah. And okay. So yes, you'll have to read about the tawdry history of the saxophone. I'm telling you, it was banned in some places. Alarming, but true.
I always like the saxophone. It's a pretty good instrument. Yeah.
Well, there you are.
All right. Okay, Raleigh.
Right.
Well,
thanks.
You tell Marianne it's Johnny D.
Yes.
Not Johnny B.
Yes. There you are.
Okay.
All right. Thanks. Okay. Appreciate it. All right.
Bye-bye.
So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, and that takes us to Jimmy P. on the south side. How are you, Jimmy? Are you with us, Jimmy? Did we lose Jimmy P? Oh, no. Jimmy P left us. Is that right? Yeah, I think it is. All right. Well, maybe his wife dropped off to sleep and he didn't want to interrupt her. I understand that. Well, Graham is in Kansas City. All right. Making nice time. How's it going, Graham?
Oh, things are going good. I'm almost at Kansas City. I just went past the racetrack over by Odessa.
Okay.
And except for getting stuck in this horrible backup that uh-huh. they were caused by construction over at the end of Illinois. I mean, those people can screw up a two-person parade. You know, they just they bring it down to one lane and they just stop the traffic and they yeah. stop it and then they release it a little bit and then they stop it again.
Yeah.
And all together, it took almost 2 hours to go 4 miles.
Oh wow! Oh wow! So you so you decided on I-70.
Yes, yes, we're running across 70.
Okay.
And so, because like I said, I've done 80 a bunch of times. I've been on 90. I've been on 40.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to give this one a shot.
Well, it's interesting.
You know, you never know. I still might veer off to the left and end up in Arizona.
Oh, wow.
But,
All right.
Who knows?
Well, I'll tell you, my memories of 70, it's changed since then. But for decades, they wouldn't finish it in Colorado because of the snail darter. I am not making this up. And so it was a one lane with a pilot car situation coming into Glenwood Springs. And the snail darter was in this water that was near this one lane. So you know what's coming up here. If you're in the wrong end of that line, you're there for a half hour and you're watching this water. I don't care who you are. By the time you get to go, you have to go to the bathroom so bad you're flying off the exit at Glenwood Spring to get there. And
I believe that.
Yeah, looking at that water, just man, it did it. And so that was literally decades. Well, they finally finished it. Then the other thing was 70 had this unpleasant deal where it just dead-ended in Richfield, Utah, for no reason whatsoever, and then you had to drive on two lanes to get to 15. I have no idea what caused that to be years and years. You know, it's not like Pennsylvania or Georgia where they're doing it for commerce sake or whatever, but they never did finish it. But they finally did, so you can go from 70 to 15 now directly.
Oh, okay. Okay, that sounds good.
Yeah.
So we'll give that a shot this time.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's other than that disaster over there, it was pretty smooth going across. I mean, I didn't even hit a traffic jam until basically there. That was the first traffic I hit on the whole trip.
Good.
Even going through New Jersey and Pennsylvania.
Good.
Yeah. And so far, you know, I'm liking Missouri. Missouri's been a decent ride the whole way. Everybody's mm-hmm. been decent thus far.
Good.
No stupid people.
Right.
One guy did notice that I have New York plates at the gas station.
Okay.
So, oh, you're one of them. I go, no, I'm not one of them. I'm just delivering for one of them.
Well, that probably made it all good.
Yes, yes. So, but that's... he was watching The Simpsons on his telephone, so that'll tell you something.
Oh, just perfect. Yeah.
Yes, 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 yes. So, but at least when I dropped off last night, it wasn't like it used to be when I used to fall asleep in the chair listening to the show.
Oh, yeah.
Because that I used to do regularly. That's one of the reasons I stopped calling, because I'd fall asleep in the chair listening to the show. And then I'd wake up and... You know, and the only good thing, if I was asleep, I missed Walter's perspective, which was always great.
You know, that wasn't on last week, so I don't know what the deal is. We'll find out tomorrow night if it's back. I don't know.
Oh, no. Yeah, okay, because it's Wednesday night that he's on?
Thursday night. That's why tomorrow night we'll find out.
Oh, okay, because I always thought he was on every night.
No, just Thursdays.
I'd have to listen to Walter's perspective.
No, just Thursdays. Yeah, Walter.
And what time?
Walter used to be a big time television anchor in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
That's his history.
Yeah.
And so the
kind of like a Dan Blather.
The hearing at the people at hearinghealthcenter.com just love them, so they sponsor that. But like I say, last week I don't know what happened to him. So hopefully Walter's all good.
Well, we don't want anything bad to happen to him.
No, absolutely not.
No. No, we don't want it. We don't wish him any ill will.
No.
We just wish he'd wake up and smell the coffee.
Oh, no. Well, you know, I mean, I guess it's for some it's an acquired taste. For others, he, you know, he did the 6 p.m. news on WBBM for like 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And then I think after that he was on Fox on FLD, I think. I don't know. But anyway, he's a Chicago native.
Okay. So what I was going to say about your gasoline situation, do you have catalytic converters still on your Camaro?
That's a great question. I hope not, but I don't guarantee it.
Mm-hmm. What year is your Camaro?
1995.
95 would have catalytic converters.
Yeah.
So you don't want to use the aircraft fuel because the aircraft is low lead.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I was talked out of that hurry. So yeah, I think, like you say, it does have, unfortunately, it does have a catalytic converter.
Mm-hmm. Now in New York and Pennsylvania and New Jersey, it's a $40,000 fine to tamper with the catalytic converters.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Nice.
Like if a dealer takes a car in with the catalytic converters are chopped off, they're supposed to send it straight to the junkyard.
Oh, my God.
And if it ends up at the auto auction, they put it in the deadline area, which means that it's on its way to the junkyard.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, it gets tagged and the keys get pulled out of it. So that's what happens to that because, like I said, they can give you a $40,000 fine. Now, there was this really smart Russian guy over in Lakewood who a few years ago went out to Mannheim, PA, and bought all these, diesel pickup trucks that roll coal, and this is deleted and that's deleted and this has been removed, and he put it all in the truck paper.
Yeah.
And next thing you knew, he had the state show up and handed him a whole bunch of fines.
Oh,
and then in the meantime, a nice couple that I crossed paths with whose son is a Marine, since he was going to be moving to Florida, he decided not to drive his circuit vehicle, his big diesel pickup truck, down to Florida, and that he would just get another pickup truck down there.
Yeah.
So the parents put it on Facebook Marketplace with the work that was done to it, and somebody from the EPA showed up at their house and said, hand over the title. You can't sell it until everything's been put back on and we approve it.
Oh, God, that's $5,000 right there.
More than that.
Oh, God.
Because, of course, they took all the stuff off and they never saved any of it. They threw it all away. So now they had to buy the particulate catcher and all that other stuff from someone else who had just decided to delete their truck and then put it back on and then set it back up in the computer because the computer was fooled into it being deleted.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's the problem when you do something like remove a catalytic converter. It's either going to run lean or run rich, or it's not going to... people think that you can just do that and there's not going to be a problem, but indeed there will be a problem.
Well, in your car, less than the other ones that are, that are more complicated.
Yeah.
You know, your car would do just fine without a catalytic converter. It might even run better.
No, I'm not going to try it. I'll leave it
there. No, if it's there, don't fool with it.
Yeah, I'm not going to try it.
But like I said, don't put in the aircraft.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I was talked out of that in a New York minute. You betcha. Yeah, mm-hmm. but I do. That's 91 octane. Just drives me crazy. I hate it.
Yeah. Now up in New York, once you get over a certain point, you can also get high test fuel up there, and I don't know. Try to remember what the name of what the name of the gas station was. Mm-hmm. There was a gas station that we stopped at in North Carolina, and they have like a chipmunk or something as their mascot.
Well,
I don't know if it's called Chucky's or something like that.
No, there are in the South. Where we lived in Chattanooga, close to that, I had perfectly good gasoline. But unfortunately, in the Western states, they've outlawed it.
Oh, okay.
You know, they will not let a station operate without the oxygenated garbage.
Yeah, yeah, because there they were selling the fuel without without alcohol.
Right.
And it's basically for people to put in their boats with the outboard motors and all that.
Right.
Because the alcohol in the fuel raises havoc in the carburetors and stuff mm-hmm. like that. It pretty much ruins them. So, and mm-hmm. I have my one motorcycle has fuel injection, so it doesn't do too badly.
Here,
but I go over.
Hang on a
minute.
Don't go away. Keep driving where you are. We got to find out what's going on with the news and the world at large, and we'll get back to Kansas City in moments here on WGN Radio.
Backfield in motion. Yeah, I'm gonna have to penalize you.
Yeah,
backfield in motion. You know that's against the rules. Huh. Offside and holding, yeah. You ought to be ashamed of yourself, baby. Offside and holding, yeah. Holding on to someone else. You know you're cheating, baby. Faking the foul. You know you're bumping, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Strike three, you're out. And I caught you with your backfield in motion. You know that's against the rules. First down, you started cheating on me. Second down, I was too blind to see. Third down, you know I love you so. Fourth down, baby, I got to let you go. But I caught you in the backfield in motion. Yeah, I'm gonna have to penalize you.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Mel and Tim. Yeah, and Gene Chandler produced that. Mel and Tim, it was on Bamboo, which was a label that one of their mothers owned. They were cousins from Mississippi, but then in Chicago they ran into Gene Chandler, who said, yeah, you got something going on here. And he produced them, and they had several releases on Bamboo. Good Guys only went in the movies right after that in 69, which was nice. And then nothing really happened with that, and they wound up on Stax because Barry Beckett at Muscle Shoals took a liking to them and recorded Starting All Over Again, and Stax bought that, and that was a string of singles on Stax, which also really didn't do that much. But Stax was hopeful because they were hoping that Mel and Tim would, fill the gap left by Sam and Dave when they split with Atlantic in 68. But sadly, Tim died in 86. But it was Marianne who wanted Mel and Tim backfield in motion, and there you have it. Speaking of in motion, Graham is en route to Kansas City. And so what's your ETA in Kansas City tonight?
Well, I'm at mile marker 12 right now.
Oh, all right. Well, then about 10 minutes.
Yes. Yes. And so then when do I switch over to Mountain Time?
Oh.
Is that on the other side of Kansas?
Yeah, I don't. I think Goodland is still central, but let me find out. But, yeah, through all of Kansas, I think you're still on central.
Still on central time. Yeah. Okay, I was hoping I'd jump into Mountain Time, but.
Why?
No such. Just because I'm trying to get there.
Yeah. Okay. Goodland is mountain. It says Goodland. I thought if anything was Goodland might be.
Okay.
So now, okay. Where in Kansas does that line change?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the four counties: Sherman, Wallace, Greeley, and Hamilton are mountain. So I would say no. You're not going to be there for quite a while.
I don't even know how many miles there are across Kansas, because I've never been on this road.
Really? Never?
No, this is all new. No.
Wow.
Because I've gone across 80, and I've gone across 40, and I've cut up through Wyoming to pick up 90 to get into Seattle.
Okay.
You know, and I got stopped at that snazzy DOT stopover in the... that they share, Washington State shares it with Idaho.
Yeah.
And
They gave me a real hard time in there, so I released my German tourists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and so they were all walking around smoking cigarettes and drinking beer, and the BMW engineers were over looking at the brakes on the mm-hmm. trucks and watching them do DOT inspections and taking pictures. And yeah. next thing I know, they handed me my paperwork and said, "Get these people back in the bus and get out of our station."
I love it. You've got about 425 miles in Kansas.
Ooh, that's a long ride.
Yeah, you do, because from Kansas City you'll get like Shawnee and Leavenworth and Lawrence and Topeka and Manhattan. Mm-hmm. What else? Trying to think. Like I say, at the end, you're only about 20 miles from Colorado when you get to Goodland.
Oh, okay.
So that's why it's mountain, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, but you're most of it.
400 miles is going to be about almost 8 hours of driving right there alone.
Yes, are you going to do it?
Straight through.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, because I don't know. I may give it a break in another hour or so.
Uh huh.
You know, when I get somewhere away from the city, try to get a room.
Good. Oh, well, you'll have a lot of opportunity for that, because you're going through it's not like the West where you have absolutely nothing for 110 miles. You will have plenty of things. Outside of Kansas City, you'll have options in Shawnee and definitely in Leavenworth and in Lawrence, you know. So Topeka, you got a lot of places where you'll have plenty of, because Topeka, that's where the Kansas Turnpike comes in, so there's probably a lot there. But yeah,
is 40 a turnpike?
No.
I mean, is 70 a turnpike?
No, you will not have okay. fees.
Good, because I do everything I can to avoid them. So far, the only toll that I paid was at the Delaware River.
Right. Well, that's the New Jersey exit fee.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we paid the New Jersey exit fee.
Right.
Because otherwise, the only way to get out of paying that fee is to go to Trenton.
Right,
there's
exactly.
There's still two bridges left.
Yeah.
They did put a toll over on the Scudder's Falls Bridge now.
Uh-huh.
Which is the way I used to go to Philly when I would leave, and just before I got hurt, that's when they put the toll by plate on there.
Oh man, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, good old Trenton. So. What is it? Trenton makes the world takes.
Yes. That and the politicians generally they go from being in office to being in prison.
Yeah, there you are. But no, you will have no reason to take the Kansas Turnpike. If you were in Topeka and you wanted to go, say, down to Oklahoma, you might take it. But for where you're going, you'll keep going from Topeka through Manhattan and then ultimately to Hayes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yes.
Yeah, because I'm at mile marker 5 now.
Oh, yeah. No.
So then what we'll do is we'll give you a call tomorrow night.
I'm counting on it.
Let you know our progress.
Yes, counting on it. I'm with you in spirit. I'm loving to ride.
Yes, always.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you. Well, you kept me going for close to 30 years. The worst thing in the world was when they knocked you off of XM radio.
Yeah.
At that point, I took the XM radio, threw it on the dashboard, and never turned it back on again.
Oh, man. All right, well,
good
deal.
What do I want to do, listen to Sean Hannity?
Well,
he's on every regular radio station, so what do I need XM for?
Funny you mention him, because I around here try to listen to my little AM and Globe, but if I get too far away, I can't pick it up. And so there's a news talk station that invariably I'll just flip it to. And today I was driving, John and I were going to the doctor, and Sean Hannity was on, and the radio kept changing dial positions. Like the station it was on was 550, and would go to 540, and then I'd put it back, it'd go to 560, and I'd put it back, and finally I said, well, clearly this radio doesn't want to hear the Sean Hannity show.
Yes, so, apparently he doesn't like old Sean.
Right. Well, you know, I didn't really want to either, but the problem was that anymore, I'm not going to find stations that play the kind of music I like, so I opt for talk, you know, or sometimes even the Spanish stations, you know.
Well, so. what you do is that you get you can get the what's that, Simple Radio app, and you can you can listen to your own station.
I can absolutely do that, but there's something about just listening to good older AM or FM that still captures my heart, and I try. All right, so we'll talk to you tomorrow night.
Okay, have a good night.
Okay, thanks.
Thank
appreciate
you.
It. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And John from Waukegan's got a request. So, John, what do you want to hear?
Mr. Al Hibbler, could you tell me a little about where he was born and raised?
Yeah. Now, of course, I assume, well, I shouldn't assume anything. What, you know, Unchained Melody is usually the one that most people think about when they think of Al Hibbler. But he sang with Duke Ellington, actually. We were talking about big band before. And he was from Mississippi, from Tyro. But he died in Chicago. And that was about 20 years ago now, I think he was. And he was older. He was about 80, 85. And Al Hibbler, like I say, he was a baritone vocalist for Duke Ellington. He was blind. And he then went on his own as a...
Was he born blind? Or
yeah,
did,
as far as I know.
Did he go blind?
No, I don't think so.
Huh?
I think he was born blind. As far as
yeah,
I know.
Like Stevie Wonder was born blind. But Ray Charles, he went blind at the age of six.
Yeah, right, early. Early, you're right. Mm-hmm. So,
he was Mississippi. Well, I didn't know that. That's just really nice. So, I would like to hear, if you got time, his version of He.
He? Okay, big hit for him. You betcha. Sure, I'll be happy to play that. And, you know, I played that Johnny Hodges version, That's the Blues Old Man, which was the tune to Night Train. And actually, Al Hibbler was with Johnny Hodges' band at that time. And he also played with Count Basie and a number of others. So what happened with him in the latter 50s, Al Hibbler became a civil rights activist. And so he wound up arrested, like in New Jersey and in Alabama and all that. Now, why that mattered is because a lot of the record labels just didn't want anything to do with him. But Frank Sinatra, when he started Reprise Records, signed him. And however, he didn't wind up making a lot of recordings, but Frank really did support him. And then Al sang a couple songs at Louis Armstrong's funeral. And sadly died in Chicago, I think it was 2001. And he's buried in Chicago.
Okay. Frank, he made more recordings, I think, than just about any American, didn't he?
No. No, he didn't. Well, he didn't make nearly as many as you might think. And like I say, he made a lot on Decca, but in 1961, when Reprise came around, he only recorded two things for them. In the 60s, he only had about five records, period. In the 50s, he had a couple dozen or so on everything from mostly Decca, but also some Chess, some Atlantic, some Mercury, not as many records as you'd think. And as far as chart records, not that many chart records. His biggest chart record, of course, was Unchained Melody, which was number one on the R&B charts and three on the pop charts. But he got to number four on the pop charts and 13 on the R&B charts, and that was in 1955.
Yeah, no, I was speaking about... I was speaking about Frank Sinatra.
Yes, no, absolutely. Frank Sinatra, he's really up there with a number of songs, because also when he changed labels, they'd redo them all. So that was fairly common as well. So whether it was Capitol or Columbia or then, of course, his own label, a lot of records. Yes. All right. I'll get you some, get you some Al Hibbler.
Okay. All right.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Talk to you later.
All right. So he's Mississippi. His family moved to Arkansas, and he attended Arkansas School for the Blind. He was in the school choir there before he auditioned for Duke Ellington. And the first time he failed it. And then he won a contest in Memphis, I think it was. And at that point, he was playing with Jay McShann. Yeah, which is real good stuff. And then, of course, the following year, he joined Duke Ellington's group. So, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, let's do He coming up on WGN Radio.
turn the tides and calm the angry sea. He alone decides who writes a symphony. He lights every star that makes our darkness bright. He keeps watch all through each long and lonely night. He still finds the time to hear a child's first prayer. Saint or sinner calls and always find him there. Though it makes him sad to see the way we live, he'll always say, I forgive.
He can grant a wish or make a dream come true. He can paint the clouds and turn the gray to blue.
He alone knows where to find the rainbow's end.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So there it is, Al Hibbler, 1955 on Decca. And bigger pop hit than R&B hit, but in terms of chart records, not that many through his career, but quite the artist nonetheless. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Fran is in Austin. What's happening tonight, Fran?
Oh, not a whole lot, just usual stuff, But I had an amusing story. At least I think it's amusing. I hope you and your listeners will find it that way. But there's this app that we have now to use, and it's called Be My Eyes, and it has an AI element to it.
Uh-huh.
And you can point the camera around, and it'll tell you, you know, what's in your environment, what's in your room. It's almost spooky how accurate it is. Except in one little thing.
Oh, okay.
Gary was pointing it at me.
Uh-huh.
And it said, elderly woman in brown chair.
Well, now, this is terrible. I was going to say, this is made by the Danish people. So, talk about politically incorrect.
Yeah, I guess so. And so then, and I was like half asleep, and Gary was playing around with the app. And as soon as it said that, I said, elderly, all right, that's enough. I'm not using this stupid automatic.
Absolutely.
Because, I know I'm up there, but it's like people, a lot of people tell me, oh, Ren, I can't believe you're going to be 68. You don't look, blah, 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 somebody's lying to me. I've been getting a lot of mileage out of that, especially because, so I pointed it at Gary, and what does it say? Because Gary said, no, I called me elderly, too. I said, I didn't hear that. So I pointed it at him, and it said, man with gray hair and white beard.
Yeah.
Sitting in leather chair. All right, that's sexism. Because I'm starting to think like an Austinite now,
Right, yeah,
living
of course,
in Austin for 20.
Right, right. Well, it sounds like this app can insult you in 180 languages.
It's interesting, but it brought me, to think about, because I was talking to somebody about it, and she said, well, they should just describe, they shouldn't make judgments on what they're seeing. But, of course, people make judgments on what they're seeing all the time. And if you're going to describe something, it's like so many people get upset about anything racial. Well, what are you not supposed to say? You're supposed to say a dark skin,
Well, you take it further. They can't even say woman sitting in chair. I mean, that may be sexist right there.
Yeah. So if you don't, yeah, I mean, if you start, yeah. I can see some people around here, you know, making that argument. But
it's hilarious.
You know, it was just. I've been getting a lot of mileage out of it though, because now, like earlier today, I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to go take a nap. And ordinarily, I would go and take a nap, and I wouldn't think anything of it. And I told Gary, well, since I'm elderly now, I can take more naps.
That's right. You sure can. Absolutely right. Well, that is interesting because it is in 180 languages, but obviously the people at Be My Eyes didn't realize that they really needed to kind of refine how they describe these images.
Well, apparently, I sent you an article about it. I know you all a lot of times don't get to your email, and I don't usually send you articles and things like that, but I found it a pretty interesting article. For a while, they were not able to show, I guess they couldn't put faces on there, and it had something to do, understand, it had something to do with a law in Illinois. And
privacy, some type of privacy thing.
Some type of privacy law. And I think this is going to run into all kinds of little sticky wickets as it goes along, but it is an amazing app, I will say that. I mean, it got down to, I had dropped a roll of paper towels, and it said, told me what was on the floor, and then it said a roll of Bounty paper towels by the, you know, the television, you know, like, wow, I found my paper towels. I didn't go running all over the place looking for them.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I was looking at things like, so I've been looking at everything. Okay. Oh, that's what color my coffee mug is. Oh, that's what, you
know. No, it's,
you know,
it's,
some people have,
it's neat.
Some people have had their child's faces described to them for the first time.
Wow.
It was, you know, talking about that, and I thought, that's amazing. But you know, as much as I rail against AI, there's so much good. But anyway, I thought that was kind of amusing. We've been getting a lot of mileage out of it.
Oh, absolutely. No, take that elderly in pride. You'll be able to use it for more excuses than you can even conjure.
Yeah, so now I go around singing, elderly woman friend, that elderly woman friend.
Yeah. Well, I guess they have, I was reading somewhere that they've got like 7 million volunteers and 500,000 blind people using it. So it's neat.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I have called them so many times. One time I even...
Hang on a minute. Don't go away, Fran. Stay where you are. The news waits for nobody on WGN Radio. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Wilbert Harrison. Now, this was somewhat of a discussion the other night, because Brian had called in, and he requested it, and he said, I think that's from, like, 1960. And I said, no, Let's Work Together by Wilbert Harrison is from 1969 on Sue. And Brian sounded dejected. He said, nope, I'm sure that it was pretty much a decade earlier. And so we left it at that. I said, oh, I'm going to play it anyway for you, But Carol saved the day, because she reminded me of something that absolutely I should have thought about at the moment. And that's, yes, Let's Work Together, 1969 on Sue, but in 1962 on Fury, Wilbert Harrison did Let's Stick Together. Now, it's interesting because the words are completely different. Yeah, Let's Work Together is more of a social commentary, where Let's Stick Together is more about marital discord. But nonetheless, the songs had similarities, and so now both Carol and I are thinking that what Brian really wanted to hear was Let's Stick Together. As far as I'm concerned, case closed, mystery solved. Wilbert Harrison in 1962 on Fury, Let's Stick Together. Wilbert Harrison in 1969 on Sue, Let's Work Together. Yeah, exact same melody line on both of them, but like I said, different message. All right, so we're back to the elderly lady in Austin, but she's going to get some mileage out of this. Fran, I'm convinced you can use that to your benefit.
Oh, believe me, I have been, and I certainly will continue to do so.
Yes.
Also, I had a couple of questions before I go. One is, I'm trying to find the album. You played my favorite Nitty Gritty Dirt Band song, Bye For Me the Rain, and I had the album that had that on it, and it had a whole bunch of other stuff that I liked. And I know I can find Bye For Me the Rain on a Greatest Hits or something like that, but I'm looking for the original album, and I don't even think that Bye For Me the Rain was a hit at that point. I think it might have been their first album, if I'm not mistaken. Okay. I don't know. I could be wrong about that.
No, absolutely.
And
it was early in their career. It was on Liberty, and it was just called the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And Bye For Me the Rain, Euphoria, Melissa, You Took the Happiness, Hard-Headed Hannah, Holding, Song to Jutta, Candyman, Dismal Swamp, I Wish I Could Shimmy Like My Sister Kate. All right. Crazy Words, Crazy
yeah,
Tune.
Great. Oh.
And you're going to get it in the end. So that is absolutely is a Liberty album. And you know, I think we got it in mono, actually. But I'll bet you that that album is available. Now, let's see. All right. If you were looking at the Disco's Marketplace, you could buy it for $2.54 plus shipping.
Is that on vinyl or CD?
Oh,
or?
That's vinyl. Vinyl is final.
Yeah,
you want it on CD?
If I can find it.
Well, let me see if it exists.
I don't know.
Yeah, right. Therein lies your problem. Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have any way to play vinyl anymore.
Well, this is a travesty. So. Yes, it's a fine vinyl album. It features a tank on the cover, and I kid you not, a bright yellow tank with Emma standing on it, and it says the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, and they're all carrying implements of destruction.
One of my biggest regrets was that I let somebody talk me into getting rid of all my vinyl.
Yeah,
I didn't get rid of all of it. There's some I just couldn't part with, and you know, they're like, "Well, you're not going to be able to play it." Well, I might be someday.
Well, why would you not be able? I mean, you could easily get a turntable, even, you know, God forbid, one that just works USB with your computer.
Well, I don't know what I was thinking at the time. Maybe I probably wasn't. I was panicked. I was moving into a smaller place. You know, it's like, oh, where am I going to? Because between the two of us, Gary had one whole room in the house that was just nothing but vinyl. We had, I'm sure you have much more than we had, but we had a lot.
Yeah.
And so so many times there are songs I want to hear, and I can't hear them because they're not on the greatest hits compilations or the compilations that they put together. And
well, let's see what we got.
You know, trying to get it on vinyl.
Okay. Well, if you don't
trying
want
to even download it.
Okay,
you know,
let's see what we've got on Anthology. It's a 2-CD set of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And let's see what's on this. We can. Buy For Me the Rain, Some of Shelley's Blues, Uncle Charlie Interview, Mr. Bojangles, Randy Lynn Rag, House at Pooh Corner, Opus 36, Fish Song, Jambalaya, Grand Old Opry Song, You Are My Flower, Tennessee Stud, I Saw the Light, Honky Tonkin', Will the Circle Be Unbroken, Cosmic Cowboy, Battle of New Orleans, Bayou Jubilee, Rippling Waters, Mother Earth, Bowlegs, An American Dream, Make a Little Magic, Shop Full of Love, Dance Little Jean, Colorado Christmas, Long Hard Road, Fighting and Fishing in the Dark, Working Man,
oh,
Ain't
yeah.
Going Nowhere, The Valley Road, When It's Gone, Waiting on a Dark-Eyed Girl, Bless the Broken Road, Catfish John, Lowlands, Tears in the Houston River, Midnight at Woody Creek, The Resurrection. So there's the two CDs, and that's what's on them. And you can get that new delivered to your house for $16.80 on CD. So now let's see what else we have. We have 20 Years of Dirt, the best of the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. You can buy it for $1.99 used. Let's see, plus shipping, of course. All right, what's on this thing? Will you tell me? Not What You Want. All right, so you don't want that. All right, what else?
Yeah, I can find a whole lot of stuff with a lot of their more, you know, like 40-hour week or what, you know, different things like that. Fishing in the Dark.
Here's one for $8.99
and all that, but I can't find this.
Well, you're not going to find that album on a CD. It's just not like that. You're going to have to look for, here's one that's only, new, it's $9. I think used, it's $3, so you got to like that. Price is Right.
Yeah.
Mr. Bojangles, An American Dream, Will the Circle Be Unbroken, House at Pooh Corner, Make a Little Magic, All I Have to Do is Dream, Grand Old Opry Song, Jambalaya, Battle of New Orleans, I Saw the Right Light, Buy For Me the Rain, Some of Shelley's Blues, and Fire in the Sky. So that one would set you back $2.87 plus shipping.
There's one song that I really liked, and I don't remember the name of it, but it's like, you know, You Settle Down and Stay with the Boy That Loves You. You know, you lose, there's nothing, you know, something. All that thinking about is simply bad news. So, you know, there's nothing so hard about the life, you know, because it's about this woman who's been hurt a lot, and so she's kind of not. No.
Okay. Isn't that Shelley's Blues?
That might be it.
I'm pretty sure that's Shelley's Blues. Some of Shelley's Blues, and when you were saying that, I'm pretty sure, but maybe not.
There's no reason for goodbye. You're just running scared, and it's something I won't buy or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Right. Absolutely. That's some of Shelley's Blues. Yeah, tell me one more time the reasons why you must leave. Tell me one more time you're sure you don't need me. Tell me again. Don't think that you'll convince me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
Right. As far as I can see, there's no reason for goodbyes. You're just running scared, and that's something I won't buy. So you lose. I won't let you go with nothing to show for more blues. Yeah, that's some of Shelley's Blues, and that's on several of these CDs.
Okay, well, at least I can find that.
Yeah, go to Amazon. Just go to Amazon, look for Nitty Gritty Dirt Man, and put CD and vinyl, and you'll see all you get. And some of them are downright, you know, used, really, really cheap. So you can do that if you want it that way.
Yeah, that's something I've been looking for so long.
I'm telling you, Nitty Gritty Dirt Man, greatest hits, 41 used from $2.87, 20 new from $3.24. So, you know, you might splurge, and it's got, you know, it's got Buy For Me the Rain, it's got some of Shelley's Blues, so it's, yeah. House of Pooh Corner and Mr.
Right.
Blue. Yeah, I think that's probably your best bet, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Man, greatest hits. It's an audio CD. Amazon would send it to you new and free shipping for $8.99, but like I say, you get it 20 new for $3.24, and what do they want to charge me on shipping? All right, well, that $8.99 might be the best deal, actually, because of these shipping charges. But that's not so bad. It sets you back $9 total.
Oh, hey. as long as I've been looking for that.
And it will be, if you order it to within the next hour and 40 minutes, it will be at your doorstep on Friday, September 29th.
Yay, right before my birthday.
When is it?
October 3rd.
All right.
So it would be a nice birthday present to give myself. Hey.
Yeah, I think that's George Johns' birthday, too, a guy I worked for in Indianapolis. But anyway, yes. Well, so you were conceived right around New Year's Eve.
Yeah, I was, it's weird because I've been telling people all year that I'm 68. And so I was talking to somebody, and Gary said, Fran, you will be 68 in October.
Well, but then again,
if you know how old I am, that's bad.
Well, if you count the time in the womb, you are 68. So
yeah, there we go.
Yeah,
there we go.
Absolutely. Then, all right. Well, go order the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band.
I will.
Okay.
Thank
thanks.
You.
Appreciate it.
All right.
So 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh, and Jan is in Dallas. All right, Jan. I hope you heard your request last night.
Yes, I did. Thank you very much. I had a request for tonight. One is Eugene Church, Pretty Girls Everywhere.
Oh, yes, okay.
Is that okay to play?
Sure, absolutely. Eugene Church, yeah, that in Miami has two big hits.
Oh, thank you very much.
Okay, sure. I'll get it on for you next.
Oh, okay, thank you.
All right, good deal. Thanks for calling.
All righty, bye-bye.
All right, so always like to play Eugene Church. Yeah, so we'll do that, and we'll be back to you in moments right here on WGN Radio.
Everywhere I go,
there's a pretty girl there.
I see a pretty girl.
Pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
Everywhere I go,
there's a pretty girl there.
I see a pretty girl.
Pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
There's a pretty girl there.
Pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
You know they knock me off my feet.
Wow. Pretty girl.
A dim pretty girl's there.
Pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
Pretty girl.
Pretty girl.
Pretty girl.
Pretty girl.
Everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
If I make it to the park.
There's a pretty girl there.
There's a pretty girl there.
Pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
A hot iron in the dark.
Wow.
Pretty girl there.
Pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
Pretty girl.
Pretty girl.
Pretty girl. Everywhere.
Yeah, yeah.
If I make it to the show,
there's a pretty girl there.
There's a pretty girl there.
Pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
Even out at the rodeo,
pretty, pretty, pretty girl.
They came on horses.
Church. It's just wonderful. 1955 on Class, and as you know, I love that label. That was Leon Renee's label, and just wonderful, wonderful stuff. My favorite, probably Bob and Earl, but so many things. But Eugene Church, was his father was a preacher in South Central, and at a church on 5th and West Adams, I think. In any event, when he was a kid, he became friends with Jesse Belvin. And, of course, Jesse, by that time, even as a kid, already was on like half a dozen labels and had a zillion different groups. And so he joined one of Jesse's group, The Clicks. That's right. And they recorded Girl of My Dreams on Modern. And he then went on and did some solo stuff. He was on Specialty Art Group's label for Open Up Your Heart. And he did a lot of background stuff. In fact, Beware, one of my favorite Jesse Belvin records. That's Eugene Church in the background, among others. But Pretty Girls Everywhere, which he co-wrote, was his biggest hit in 1959. And he had quite the career, as far as I'm concerned. But another one of the people who is just unsung, not well known by any degree. By the way, Pretty Girls Everywhere was intended for another guy on Class, Bobby Day, And Bobby passed. He said, you know, I'm not all that interested. And so if you look at the label on Class, it says Eugene Church and the Fellows. And you're saying, who the hell are the Fellows? Well, actually, they're a female group, the Dreamers. But in the house band, Googie Renee, Leon's son, was on that. And, Plaz Johnson was on tenor sax and so many others that were just wonderful. And like I say, Follow Up Miami. And had a couple other things for Class as well. And sadly died, I think, around 93, if I'm not mistaken, and trying to do my history on that in Los Angeles. So, all right, 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. And let us see what is going on with Karen in Knoxville. How's it going, Karen?
I am fine. In less than a week, I will be joining the ranks of septuagenarians.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I have the same birthday Fran has.
Oh, that's perfect. All right. Telling you, New Year's Eve, that was it. Everybody was getting together around that time.
Well, my thing is, my parents got married in April. Mm-hmm. And then my sister and I were born, and we were preemies.
Ah.
So we... No, that kind of puts that back because we weren't born full term.
Yeah. All right.
Happy. To have been due probably late December, early January next year, but didn't happen.
That's tough. It's good you're here.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I lost my sister 6 years ago this year.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. So young.
Yeah, I know. But she had cancer.
Which is really tough, and that's where, you know, you don't want anybody to suffer. So while it's terrible for us left behind, it's freedom for her in a much better place.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was, you know, it was getting bad, so we needed to let her go. But, you know, that, it goes on, you know. So I try to be diligent about, you know, seeing that I don't get it, or if it is, it's treatable.
Yeah. Well, you never know what life is going to bring, so you try to enjoy every day while you got it.
I find that to be more the case every day.
All right, well, hang on a minute. Don't go away. Stay where you are, Karen, stay exactly where you are, and we'll pick it up right after the news right here on WGN Radio.
Gee whiz, I can't believe that you love me. I can't believe that an angel like you could fall in love with me so tenderly. Gee whiz, why do I thrill when you kiss me? My heart stands still when I'm holding your hand. The feeling is oh so grand, oh so grand. How do you talk to an angel? What words should I say? How do you walk with an angel above? Should I be modest or gay?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. So I was thinking about Class Records that came out in 1958, and that's my fave by far, Bob and Earl. Now, if you're saying Bob and Earl, wasn't that Harlem Shuffle later? Well, yeah, it was Bob. Not exactly. It was Earl, I should say, but it wasn't Bob. Here was the deal. The original Bob and Earl was Robert Byrd, who, of course, became Bobby Day, and Earl Nelson. And they're both in the Hollywood Flames. And, yeah, buzz, 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 and all that. And so bottom line was that they didn't do very well as Bob and Earl. And so Bob thought, you know, I'm leaving. And so Earl Nelson got him a second Bob. He got Bob Reif. And that was the Bob and Earl that did Harlem Shuffle, which was produced by, of all people, Barry White. But that was later, in 1958. Gee whiz, it was a flip side, actually. Well, not even the A side. When She Walks was the A side. But man, I heard that B side, and man, just heaven for me. So that's my favorite Class record, since we're talking about Eugene Church, who had wonderful ones as well. So we're talking to Karen in Knoxville, the birthday girl that she will be. Yeah, so how are you going to celebrate?
I hope to be with my daughter and grandchildren.
Good.
Yes. I was going to comment about the groceries, wherever you open something before you check out and pay for it. And I don't.
Yes.
I personally don't think so.
So
I think you should just check out and pay for it and then open it when you get home.
All right. Well, so, I mean, so here, let's say you're going to be in the grocery store for a while and you've got a 3-year-old in the cart who's giving you all sorts of fits. Now, will you quiet them down by opening up a candy bar?
Well, I would sure consider it, but I don't think my mother would have done that for me. In fact, I'm pretty sure she wouldn't have.
I must admit that it surprised me, because this is one of those life questions that I've never thought about ever. And now we have people, throngs of people who are emotional about this online. And I'm thinking, yep, it's the end of the world as we know it. It's come to this.
I have an opinion, but I'm not going to be that visceral about it. But
I don't know that. Now I'm going to have to notice if I have an opinion. I'll have to watch and see if I see anybody doing it. So
yeah.
I'll keep you posted. All right, Karen, well, it's good to hear from you. Thank you.
Well, have a good night.
And happy birthday if I don't talk to you beforehand.
Thank you.
All right. So, speaking of beforehand, tomorrow night we're on an hour late or thereabouts, because I think it is the first hockey interruption of the season. I believe it's hockey. But whatever it is, we'll be on about an hour late. And that happens again a few times. Let me see if I can give you the schedule in case you're, you know, taking rabid notes or something. Let's have a look, y'all. And so that would be 11 p.m. tomorrow. Then 11 p.m. on Tuesday the 3rd, and 11 p.m. on Thursday the 5th. That's true. And then after that, let's see. I believe. On the 10th, maybe a little bit late, but not by much. And then I'd say the 24th, you might get an hour of me. But to Halloween, you're not getting any show at all on the 31st. And you're getting maybe, I don't know, a half hour of me the night before. That'll be a quick show. In any event, other than that, it's me all the way Monday through Thursday. You know, on Fridays, it's a replay of Monday Night Trivia, so don't call. But on Monday nights, of course, I'm pleading for your calls, as I will be this coming Monday, when we will be live starting at 10. And that is what? That's already, my God, I didn't realize that's already October 2nd. Yeah, Monday Night Trivia, October 2nd. And tomorrow night, of course, just an hour delayed. But other than that, we are here. All right, so we got Debbie and Raleigh. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey there. I was laughing so hard when you called Karen Fran, and I thought that sounds like something I would do.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm forever starting to say something, and then right in the middle of what I'm saying, another word will come out that isn't even closely connected to what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're lucky if it's in English.
I know French, and once in a while I'll almost slip into that, but I was going to tell you there's a record player, I want to say it's made by Victrola. Anyway, I bought it a few months ago because I had a whole gob of albums. And I had tossed my, what we used to call a talking book player, away, which just had a basic turntable, and it was heavy as lead. It must have weighed 15 pounds, but, you know, everything went to some other format aside from the, you know, hard records, you know, or even the plastic records that played at 8 1/3 or whatever.
The right, the little yellow plastic, you know, kitty records, of course.
But this, it has a CD player.
Okay.
AM, FM radio, and the 3-speed turntable that plays 45s, 78s, and 33 and a third records.
Yes. Well, that's great.
And I love it. I love it. And so, you know, if she does a little looking, she could probably find it.
And so do you have it as USB for your computers, or do you have it as a standalone item?
No, no, it's just a tabletop thing.
Okay, so a standalone item,
plastic.
Yes. Well, I know
they've on the table.
Yeah,
it's,
they've got.
Can't describe it.
Right. No, I understand. Victrola also has some 6-in-1 Bluetooths, which will do the CDs and everything else. So yeah, they've got a lot of models from which to choose.
Oh yeah, they do. And I use it because I play my CD that I recorded for people that want to hear it. You know, I pop that in once in a while, but. And I was going to tell you, one of my favorite artists from the past is Johnny Maestro.
Oh, sure.
And the night you were talking about the Brooklyn Bridge itself, I thought about that song that he recorded. For some reason, I don't know. It just, you know, when you were, I didn't catch all you were saying, and I thought, oh, she's going to talk about him. And then you were talking about the bridge itself, you know.
Well, I know I have talked about that. And the interesting thing, if you're unaware, is how he came up with the name Brooklyn Bridge. He actually didn't. He used to be in the Crests, of course, and they had some wonderful 45s on co-ed, all that wonderful stuff.
16.
Right, so, right, and Step by Step and everything else. So a lot of...
Trouble in Paradise.
Trouble in Paradise, yes, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of stuff on YouTube
found, and that's wonderful stuff on the Crest. But, of course, that was the latter 50s, and so he was still kicking around New York almost 10 years later, and he had said, you know, I'm putting another group together, and the record guy said, you got as much chance of selling records as you do selling the Brooklyn Bridge. And he said, that's my name. And that's how he came up with it. And, of course, worst that could happen was a very big hit. And then minor hits with Your Husband, My Wife, and a couple other things. But, Johnny Maestro was a great guy.
Yeah. Well, I love to listen to you, and I just drew a blank about what else I might want to talk to you about. But anyway.
Johnny died really young. Johnny was only 70. He was only 70 when he died. So that was in 2010. He was very young, March of 2010. It was certainly surprising to me.
So listen to me. Good God, I wish I could rewind this. See, there you go. You got an example of what I meant to do. What I was trying to say is I was born on a Friday the 13th, and that happens to fall this year on my birthday.
Oh, perfect.
In October.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, isn't it?
Yes.
And look, my mom was born on April the 1st, so, you know.
All right.
It's just a running joke in our family.
Yeah, the April Fool's
but
girl, of course.
I'm a twin as well. My brother died back in 2004,
that's tough.
Nobody knew me, but they knew they always call me Don's sister.
Oh wow! That's
tough.
He was
a good musician. We had a piano in our living room at my mom's house, and he just sat down at 5 years old, started playing it out of the blue. Nobody taught him anything. He just, you know, he had perfect pitch and everything. And I can't play a tune. I mean, sounds like a 2-year-old playing. But anyway, look, I'll let you finish out with other callers. I just really love to listen to your show, and I can't always remember everything I want to say or do, but I've learned to take good notes.
Well, good deal. So we'll hear from you soon, I hope.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Good night.
Appreciate it.
Night.
So yes, indeed. And the Brooklyn Bridge, of course, went on to prove Alan White, that was the record guy who suggested that it would be easier to sell the Brooklyn Bridge. He proved them very, very wrong. But, yeah, he died of cancer. I think it was like 2010. He was down in... I think in Broward County, Florida, I think, or might have been on the West Coast, but in any event, in South Florida somewhere, and he was only 70 years old, and so that was the deal. Fred Ferrara died a year later. He was only 69, so yeah, too young, that's for sure. So 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. And let's see, we're going to have time for one more. And I think I still have one of Jimmy P's requests to play. If not, I'll go back to a favorite of Scotty's. Yeah, never go wrong with that. All that coming up on WGN Radio.
Well, I woke up early morning, I heard a call in her name.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Of course, those are the Dandeliers. Little Man, that was their third single on States. And that was the A side. The B side was May God Be With You. And Scotty had requested both of those. We played May God Be With You. And now that's the last of the Dandelier. We played his shoe up, and he loved the Dandeliers. So happy to do that. Lead on that, up-tempo lead on all the Dandelier stuff was Dallas Taylor. Yeah, we used to talk about him. James Campbell, Bernard Dixon, Walter Stevenson, Richard Thomas were in that group as well. And they were terrific. Again, tremendously underrated. Doo-wop group from Cottage Grove. All right, so we got Tommy in Chicago. Welcome back to WGN Radio, Tommy.
Raleigh.
How are you?
What a night. Oh, my God. Scotty's in heaven. Well, he's in heaven listening.
Yes, he is.
This was a great one. The Clips, Mellencamp, Al Hibbler, Johnny Hodges. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
You did this great show, you and John.
Oh,
and then you mentioned John was 6'2". I joked with him on
oh, yeah?
6'2". Oh, my yeah. Week. And Gene Tanner produced Mel and Tam. I didn't know that.
Yes, in fact, he's really the guy who found them. They had been from Mississippi. Then they were in St. Louis for a while. But it was Mel's mother who had that little label, Bamboo. And I don't know how that came about. But Gene Chandler was absolutely the force behind all their stuff on Bamboo.
Okay, you mentioned the Brooklyn Bridge.
Yeah.
What was their biggest hit?
Worst That Could Happen. There.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, girl, I heard you getting married. Yeah, right. That was the big one.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Raleigh. And God bless you and John. I skipped washing dishes just to do this.
Oh man. Oh, I don't want to interrupt the dishes.
I'm writing all this stuff down because I want to put it in my phone later.
All right.
And I really appreciate you. The Johnny Hodges stuff and the Night Train history. You are awesome.
Well, I'm just so glad you called, and I hope you're going to do it again soon.
We'll do. And I'll make sure that when we're calling, like on Mondays, I'll make sure I let John know what song that I heard.
Oh, okay. Sounds good to me.
All right.
All right, thanks.
Monday.
Appreciate it. Okay, good deal. Always good to hear from Tommy.
Have a great night.
You too. All right, so let's see. What do we have? Okay, a man of 9,842 stories would be, of course, James on the south side. And as usual, what a plethora of goodies you sent me, though. I don't know. I think I'm more afraid of the government than I've ever been, thanks to you.
I'm sorry about that. But, there was some that I thought, is this unreal or what?
Right. And, you know, that whole civil forfeiture thing, and of course, dangerous to talk about that because it is a serious subject. But the idea that the government can confiscate your money for absolutely no reason at all, and basically you got to sue them to get it back if you're lucky, something is wrong with that. And so you had a few of those stories, and I was glad at least in one case where it worked out very well. But usually it's a horror. But between that and, I don't know why we have a population problem. They seem to be killing each other with alarming regularity. If you look at these numbers, my good God.
Yeah, I'm thinking we got a problem of people not actually having much compassion at all.
Oh, God, it's terrible. And then, you know, the medical atrocities, I almost shouldn't read those because it'll cause me to lose sleep. But a little 9-year-old girl thinks her shirt tag pinched her. Turned out she's bitten by a brown recluse, and oh, my God, it has pictures. But worse than that, her mother went to, like, 3 hospitals where there's, oh, it's nothing. I mean, it's a wonder the child didn't lose her arm.
And I'm, like, thinking... they must have my eyesight.
Yeah, right. It really makes you wonder. It's a frightening group of stories, let me tell you what.
There was a couple of what we would call it somewhat good ones where there was like the family had found a message that was written on the back of a mirror.
Yeah.
An inspirational message. That was beautiful.
Well, I'll tell you, the other one that was really warming was the guy who was a renter, and years later, his former landlord mails him $2,500 because he said, "El, you were a renter when I've sold the house and I made money and I want to share it with everybody." So that was really nice.
That was, and you think, now, the bad thing about you don't see too many of those stories, and when you find them, they're kind of clustered together.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that, you find, like, they go back to the bad side of the other side of the track.
No shortage there. Now, the other medical one that I didn't bother to read the story, but just the headline, the surprising connection between nose picking and Alzheimer's disease. I thought, okay, we'll just avoid this story. So, my God.
I read part of it before my phone wanted to act funny with me. I said, now, I remember coming across a story similar to it. I'm like thinking, now, makes you just simply say, be careful what you do in the triangle of death.
Oh, God.
Face.
Yeah, that's what they say, the triangle of death. I don't know. I'll avoid it at all costs. But we had several others along the same line, as well as you found a fossil. Well, you didn't. The story did. Found a fossil who died of constipation?
Yeah, talk about being stuck.
Oh, no, you didn't. You just didn't. No, I didn't hear a word of that. No.
No, I won't say anything. I didn't say it.
Yeah, and then, of course, we have...
I'm, like, thinking, he AK obviously did ran out of grass.
Yep. Then we have a transgender woman jailed for rape, and I think, I need a diagram. So, yep.
Yeah, I'm, like, thinking, why... did they even put her in the same thing? And that's like similar to that story back like a while back that I said about
the prisoners. Yes, the prisoners.
You.
Yes, yes, like half a dozen prisoners. Yeah, that was classic. You have ended the week on a high note. Wonderful stories. We'll talk to you next week, hopefully for Monday Night Trivia. And thank you, thank you, thank you, James.
Okay, all you right. Have a nice one.
You too.
Now, John is doing better.
Yeah. All right. So we thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. You especially for calling. It makes all the difference. So a replay of Monday Night Trivia tomorrow night. Then no, that's not true. That's not true. A show Monday. Well, it's only Wednesday. An abbreviated show tomorrow night will be an hour late. But after that, hopefully you will check in. And I'm looking forward to talk to you 22 hours from now. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.